know, I just fell down. I blacked out, fell down. And when I woke up, it's a pool of blood on the floor. Pretty sure my nose is broken, but.
All of that occurred away from the action, and Gene Katie just a little upset with what's happened so far.
Robinson around Ostertag.
Down again is Jawan Johnson, 3 for 3 from the field.
You're listening to the Purdue Basketball Beat, a part of the Boiled Sports Podcast Network.
Hello, sexy people, and welcome to the Boiled Sports Basketball Beat. I am Michael. With me is Anish and the ghost of Andy. He's with us in spirit.
He is. He tried. We tried yesterday. It would have been nice to get all three of us, but then
Whose fault was that?
It was my fault. It was my fault. I was trying to set up the podcast with several cans, some string in between them.
Sure.
It's kind of iffy because I thought you were in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
But you're not.
No, I'm not.
You're on the road. And
I'm in the ATL. Yeah.
Listen, it was on me. Logistics, the logistics of the cans were on me. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. I know you don't like technology. No. You're not very good with technology. No. So it's fine. I hope you've learned how to click the start button with Google Hangouts.
Shout out to Google Hangouts.
Shout out to Google Hangouts.
For not working last night. But
yeah, how dare that free software not work correctly, by the way.
Listen, I paid
for
it.
Who do they think they are?
My refund.
Exactly.
I demand my refund.
Yeah, you'll get your refund.
That sounds essential. You'll get your refund.
Yeah. Is this the first of the season? Like, I have not recorded yet.
This is the first of the season for basketball because we're bad at
we're not very good.
Again, at the job we do for no money.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't feel that bad.
So, the theme of this podcast is people who are not doing their job, who are doing their job for free.
Yeah, doing the free job poorly.
Yes. Speaking of Vince Edwards, no, I'm just not yet.
Oh my gosh! So where's my? I need like an in studio editor who can play back a clip of you drooling all over Vince. Is it Vince or Vincent Edwards last year?
So this year.
Oh, Vince. Oh, your arms are so big. Oh, I love how you dunk that basketball. Oh, I could just fall asleep with my head on your chest, Vince. Oh, gosh.
So I think that it is because he's Vincent this year. A lot of people have been alluding to that, that Vincent is the root of all his problems.
Sure.
So I'll just go with that I was pro Vince.
You know, I feel like the root of his problems is less to do with his name and more to do with that stutter step that he takes when he gets the ball at the top of the key and travels.
I think that might be a
problem.
How many traveling violations has he had this year?
I counted and it was 500,000.
Man, it's been he's had a
seems like a lot, but it's up there.
Anyway, so is that what we're starting with? Is that
Let's
are we
just
starting
jump.
With?
I mean, like we had a little flow going. That's fine.
So he's
let's just go with it.
Of all the people going into this season, I guess the most important was Vince, right? Because Ray Davis was gone, and AJ Hammond's the best. So Ray Davis, kind of the emotional center, the leader, is gone. AJ Hammond's gone, the best player. And so there's, you know, this team is pretty talented, if not deep. Like, it seems like a typical Ohio State team, you know, like under Thad Matta, where the top seven players are really good, but there's no depth. And so you just kind of hope that they don't, if they don't lose their legs by the time the tournament comes around, they'll actually be a good team because you only want a 7-man rotation by the time the tournament comes. You want to know the guys that you're playing. But that kind of AJ and Davis leaving kind of left Purdue with an identity void. And I thought that would be filled by Edwards because, Swanigan and Haas aren't really the leadership types. PJ Thompson's not quite good enough, right? So, I figured it'd be Vince. Like, this team would go as Vince, you know, it would be molded with Vince's personality. And maybe it is. I mean, maybe that's part of the problem, right?
So why Vince? Why was he the one that would provide that? Because he never really struck me as the type of guy who had the personality to be that real vocal leader.
So like, that it's the vocal leader versus the I don't know. So the leadership of like Etuan Moore was very different, right? Because he was just consistent. He put his head to the ground, put his head down, did his work.
Well, he was the leader because he was the best player. Like, that's like a default position. Like, if you're the best player on the team, there's some leadership responsibility there.
So wasn't it supposed to be that Vince could have slid into that Etuan Moore leadership role? Like, just be a consistent 15, 6 and 8 every night?
15, 6 and 8? 15, 6 and 8. That's first team All-American numbers.
That's I thought he'd be first team All Big Ten. Like no, yeah. He was first. He was preseason, on the All Big Ten watch, either on the first team or second team. Caleb Swanigan was on the first team. It would have been one of them as Purdue's best player coming into the season. Swanigan, for the most part, has lived up to it. That dude is a monster. We'll talk about him in a second. But Vince is like. I don't know. I thought he had that in him.
I think that the thing with Edwards is I don't really know if I've seen something out of him where he could take over a game in the same way that someone like Etuan Moore could. He's not going to go for like 30 and 12, right? So, but he was, I always thought of him as like a consistent force for Purdue, and then it would be up to the other guys on the team to really have like the great nights, right?
That sounds like Etuan, right? I mean, like, and not from a scoring, but from a distribution. Like, instead of that, he averaging about 12, like setting up his teammates. He's actually for all of the shit we've been giving him for not showing up this year so far, he's been one of the best distributing wings. In terms of assist to usage rate in the country, there are very few, like the only people that compare to him are Josh Hart, Josh Jackson, like these kind of the kid from is his name Haas? I want to say he's like some it's like an incredible name, but he plays for A&M, the A&M wing. It's like these are the kind of players that his numbers stack up to, and so he's been. In terms of distributing, he's still been great, which is weird because we all watch him and he's been bad. He hasn't been what we all kind of expected from him.
Well, I think he's been fairly up and down, right? Yeah. Like he had one point against Louisville, a free throw with like 2 minutes to go in the game. And that was a game where Purdue needed a performance from him to win.
I mean,
he almost won.
I was going to say, a performance from anyone would have been great. Like, that's – we'll go into the losses soon, but that's the frustrating part, is that if Vince would have been a consistent performer, Purdue could be – Matt Norlander called it of CBS Sports. Matt Norlander said that Purdue has the two most impressive losses of the year, at Louisville and against Nova, who – God, Nova looks like – I mean, they lost Arch, but like they look like they haven't missed a beat. That team is built again this year.
They lost Arkadiakono, mm-hmm. right? But like it wasn't like he was the key part of that team.
He was the heart, he was the heart of the team, but like he was the veteran, he was all that.
The first guy off the bench. Right?
And they found somebody to fill in for him and they've been just fine. Josh Hart has been a all American. Nova, they've been awesome. And so Vince has played up to that level in terms of his distribution. It's just half court turnovers are an issue for this team.
He's averaging almost 3 turnovers a game. A lot of them are just really stupid. The travel issue, entry passes, just really dumb plays, like something that you would not expect him to do.
So to be fair, the last two games that he's come off the bench instead of Carson Edwards has been starting against Morehead State and against Arizona State. He's actually been fantastic, and Purdue's looked amazing. Mm-hmm. Purdue's looked like one of the best teams in the country against Morehead State and Arizona State. I mean, putting up over 90 points in both of them, shooting, I think, over 50% in both of them, from three in both of them. It's the others that are doing it. Biggie had a great game against Morehead State, but was kind of quiet against Arizona State. And, I mean, Purdue is still dominant. So, like, maybe, I don't know, like, what would you do with Vince? Would you keep bringing him off the bench?
Yes. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So keep starting Carson Edwards, even at the point where it might be damaging the psyche of one of your team's best players?
If I feel like if your player psyche is that fragile, then that's something that needs to be addressed anyway. Like,
This is the same guy that froze during the tournament, right? Like, it looked like his controller died when he got the ball against Little Rock, Arkansas, right? So, I don't know. It might be an issue.
Someone unplugged his controller.
Biggie, I think, over the summer, which, by the way, we'll talk about Biggie next. But Biggie, over the summer, I think Instagrammed that video of it, of like the Xbox controller batteries needing replaced, which is amazing.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
So I don't know. I think it is. There is a real danger that you're starting to doubt Vince instead of kind of empower him. But at the same point, you don't want to empower him past where he's hurting the team, right?
Well, you got to win basketball games.
Yeah. You have to play to win the game. Yes.
You know, and it's up to him to maybe Painter and his staff to work extra with Vince if he needs it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this is working. Carson Edwards is working.
It was a good idea. I mean, to Painter, his job is to put the team in the best place to win, right? Not necessarily cater to one player, even a player as talented as Vince. So I don't know. I think that is... I guess we've spent the first like 10 minutes talking about Vince, because that's the biggest hole in the team. This team needs a do-it-all Swiss Army knife power forward, like distributing and scoring power forward, especially on the defensive end. I mean, Vince's problems are, if they're solved, this team is incredible, you know? And Kim coming off the bench has kind of done that. So let's move to Biggie. He's awesome. He's so much better. He was awesome last year, and he's so much better now.
He was up and down last year, but this year he has been fairly consistent. And I think the reason why he wasn't so dominant in Arizona State game is they really didn't, like, fairly early on, it became clear that they didn't need him.
Yeah,
they didn't need to get him going, because the shooters were shooting so well, defense was playing so well, there was really no need to focus on Biggie.
So the defense playing well against Arizona State. So ASU is not a good offensive team, not a good defensive team. So Purdue scoring 97 points, not really that
par for the course for Arizona State.
But offensively, the fact that Purdue held them functionally around 50 points until the garbage time, you know, basically the last 8 minutes of the game was garbage time, so they kind of padded it up to 64. But, like, the defensive performance was actually the most impressive part of that game to me. There are still issues, especially when Swanigan is switched onto somebody on the perimeter, when Haas has to come over and help a little bit, but... I don't know. I thought that was great. But either way, like, I think for the most part, Biggie this year, a double-double machine. He's averaging 16.2 points and 11.3 rebounds. I mean, consensus all first team Big Ten, probably on the All-American list. I think Sports Illustrated had been, like, in a couple of the print magazines, has been, like, doing small little corner featurettes on him. Biggie is, he's having a really good year so far.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to need more from him, and he's also eliminated. I think the biggest jump in his production has come not from necessarily adding skills, but from eliminating some of his bad habits from last year. Like taking poor shots was probably his biggest problem on offense. And this year, you don't really see him do that. You see him get cooking from the post, and he'll take a jumper, but he'll take a jumper. Mm-hmm. You know, he won't take an 18-foot jump shot with 15 seconds left in the shot clock.
I mean, so if you look at it, his effective field goal percentage this year, which is adjusting to the fact that free throws are 1, field goals are 2, 3-pointers are 3 points, he's shooting 62.3% like effective field goal percentage. That is incredible.
Good.
That is unbelievable. And it's the 3-pointer. Like he's a legitimate 3-point threat, and he's also taking smart 3-pointers. So last year his effective field goal percentage was sub 50. It was 49.8. And that's because of that 3-point percentage that was so low. And so I'd like sub 30% 3-point percentage last year, whereas this year he's floating. I mean, like his the amount of threes that he's taking are a lot less, but I want to say he's shooting somewhere around 58%. And so he's a real threat to stretch the floor. I still think that he's much better offensively when he gets the ball around the nail, like, you know, the middle of the free throw line. But you know, he's still just been. He's been Purdue's best player, right? Like, by far.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been fantastic. Carson Edwards has been better than we could have hoped. There's a lot of pieces that are falling in place for Purdue. So, I mean, you kind of just have to hope. I mean, as a team, they're shooting almost 45% from three. That's incredible.
Yeah, so. I mean, like that was very much padded by ASU shooting against ASU shooting something like 55, and against Morehead State shooting 50. But still, those are the kind of performances you need, right? Like those are PJ Thompson. When he gets the ball kicked out to him, he's been lights out. He's been great, like a caretaker position at the point guard spot. Just really steady handed. Matthias, man, like. He was what we wanted from Kendall Stevens last year, yeah. Right? He's lived up to everything. I've always been a real skeptic of Matthias, and this year he's just he's been so consistent. He hasn't forced anything. He seems to be making only smart plays, and his shooting, like, he's been the most consistent shooter for Purdue all year. He's been, like, that's the thing, like, when Carson Edwards, Matthias, and Thompson are rolling, like, it doesn't really matter if you bring Vince off the bench, like, that's they've kind of stepped up, so it's covered that deficiency.
Yeah, those four, out of the Klein, Thompson, Matthias, and Edwards, out of those four, you need at least two of them to have a good game in order for Purdue to win against a good opponent.
Mm-hmm.
When all four of them are going, I really like Purdue's chances.
Yeah, Klein last game, 5 for 7 from three after coming back from the suspension because he's a moron.
Yeah, well, let's hope that's behind him.
But. Yeah, but like he's hitting, you know, he's hitting the shots.
He's doing what he's supposed to do,
yeah.
Right? He's not going to play a ton of minutes, right? Like, he's going to play less than 20, and he needs to not screw things up on defense. And he needs to hit his threes, right? Move the ball and hit threes, right? If he can, that's his role on this team. Mm-hmm. That will probably be his role until he graduates. He just needs to do that. And if he can do that, then that's a huge thing for Purdue.
I mean, that's especially in the tournament. See, this season is so dependent on the tournament, right?
From a fan base standpoint, from like a from like a morale. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, like, how bad do you feel if we go out if Purdue goes out in the first round again, finishes top three in the Big Ten, and goes flames out in the first round? I mean, like, it's really dependent on a Big Ten championship or go making it to the second weekend or more of the tournament.
And the Big Ten tournament doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean,
it's all about the NCAA tournament.
Unless you win it, right? Unless you win the Big Ten tournament, that's nice. But
that's nice, but I don't think if you win the Big Ten tournament, I think that'll just piss people off more when you flame out.
Oh, yeah, see, exactly. It's a supplement, right? It's like it makes you feel even better, but it doesn't salvage the season. Yeah, you're right.
You have to get to the Sweet 16, mm-hmm. and it would really be nice if this team could you know, go to the Elite Eight.
It would be really easy for people to recruit, like when Painter, because Painter has been lambasted a lot for these recruiting misses, but it's because he's aiming on these four and five star, high four and five star kids. And it's going to be really easy to recruit against Coach Painter when, like, if you're maybe not Tom Crean, but like if you're Louisville. Right. Or if you're Kentucky, recruiting.
It's the Derek Willis story. Right?
Or if you're Izzo. Let's say you're Tom Izzo, right. and you're recruiting a five star against Matt Painter, and you can say, "Hey, he got Biggie Swanigan to come down to West Lafayette instead of coming up to Lansing." And what did he do? He didn't even get to a Sweet 16 with him, right? Didn't win the Big Ten and didn't get to a Sweet 16 with him. You shouldn't go play for Matt Painter, right? So that's another thing that's so dependent. You know, this year, and so that kind of brings it back to the four shooters that we named: Carson Edwards, Matthias, PJ Thompson, and Ryan Klein. It's shooting a deficiency of 3-point shooting right now when teams in the tournament can just pack the paint. Crash two players on both Haas and Swanigan every single time they touch the ball. Right. Like just hacks Isaac Haas like he's Shaq in 1998. And if you can't kick it out to a 3-point shooter that can hit, you're sunk. That's what sunk Purdue these last 2 years. So, like, right. the fact that you have these four incredible shooters, I mean, like, that was the deficiency last year. Last year they had maybe 2.5 shooters like this. And we all thought that Kendall Stevens would be there. Stevens never really showed up. Matthias was a little inconsistent. PJ Thompson was good. And Klein was okay, but he was still a string bean, right? So this year you have four players that can step up and play 25-plus minutes. And I think that's pretty huge. Smotherman is back. That's good.
Yeah. I like Smotherman. I think you've been harder on him than I've been.
I think in our
messages back and forth, you've been a little bit of a hater.
I mean, the guys at Golden Black, the men and women at Golden Black, have been praising Basil, as have you guys. And so maybe, I mean, like, not maybe, that puts me in the minority. I guess I just don't see it. But, like, he brings energy, yeah, but that's for, like, the eighth man off the bench. Eighth or ninth man off the bench. Like, so right now, to me, Smotherman is the last guy. He's man eight, man nine. And I just, he makes, defensively, he's energetic. He crashes the boards really well. He's still running along the baseline and catching dump offs, and that's good. But, like, it seems like every game he makes, like, a handful of just dumb decisions with the ball.
Yeah.
And he's like a coach's son. Like, he was supposed, the selling point on him was his, like, in high school, he was an incredibly smart, athletic player, right?
Yeah. He was also a point guard in high school.
Yeah. I mean, like, he was like, he was like Giannis. You know what I mean? He was this long string bean athletic point guard. And, like, he could make plays. He knew, like, he was a coach's son. He was brilliant. And now it just seems like he doesn't know what's happening, like, half the time.
I feel like he does make, what he's guaranteed to do every game is throw a long pass right into the defense.
Man, or into the fifth row.
Or into the fifth row. Yeah, he'll do that in transition. You know what? I'll take it. I'll take it, because I think he gives Purdue something that they don't otherwise have. He's a more energetic, less skilled Vince Edwards.
He gives him energy. I mean, like, that's the other thing. He gives him attitude. He's always the one hyping him up. He's going for the home run play every time. Him and Carson Edwards are going for home run plays every single time. So they play a role, not they, I should say, because Carson Edwards is incredible. But Smotherman plays a valuable role. I will agree, but he's no more to me. Like, you're playing Swanigan, Haas, both Edwards, Matthias Thompson, and Klein over him. Like he's
Ooh, Klein? Think,
I think so.
Oh man, see, I don't.
Because he at least when you're playing Klein, at least so far, he hasn't had a stretch where he's been cold yet. He also hasn't played too many games, but you know what you're getting from Ryan Klein. You're getting zero dribbles. You're getting the occasional swing pass, and you're getting dead eye 3-point shooting. Like you're getting 60% 3-point shooting. And you're getting a liability on defense. Whereas you know that Smotherman will be okay on defense. Like, that's the thing. You would always rather take the specialist over the guy who's kind of okay at everything, but not really good at anything.
I think that's a debatable point.
Smotherman, he's a good rebounder. Like, Smotherman will give you rebounds from the wing, but, like, what? I don't know what else does he give you. Fouls. He's got five fouls to give. He was good versus Arizona State, but then again, I think everybody was good against Arizona State.
He's been shooting the ball fairly well, I'd say.
He's been shooting it better than I thought. Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, I'm being hard on him. You're right. But
I think he's been playing really good on the ball defense.
Really
like,
good?
Really good. I'll go out and I'll say really good.
I don't know.
When he matches up with his guy, I think he's one of those guys on Purdue that can play defense on the block and can play defense on the wing. I think he can do and I don't think who else can do that. Vince Edwards is struggling to do that.
That's the thing. See, Vince has either got to up his effort on defense or get more aggressive offensively, like actual scoring, keeping his passing, like keeping his assist rate up, and being more aggressive offensively, or keeping his offensive game the same. He doesn't really have to score that much more. Just keep kicking it out to shooters and be a lockdown defender. And he becomes an all Big Ten player, I think.
So while we were talking, I brought up some advanced stats because I wanted to back up my Basil Smotherman play.
Go for it. Hit me with some knowledge.
And I'll hit you with a little Smotherman knowledge, but then I'm going to hit you with some Vince Edwards knowledge. First of all, Smotherman's steal percentage is third highest on the team. It's not bad. His turnover percentage is the highest on the team. But his rebound percentage is right around like where it should be. Like it's not Swanigan's insane 22%.
So that means that's one out of every roughly four rebounding opportunities there are. When Swanigan's on the floor, he's grabbing it.
No, but how about Swanigan's defensive rebounding percentage is just a hair under 30%.
Man, and he never wants Isaac Haas getting a rebound.
No.
If you notice. And that's the other thing. Haas has been getting. Wait, finish your Basil
Smotherman. Well, I was going to pivot to Edwards here.
Yeah,
go on. Highest assist percentage on the team.
That's what I'm saying. Like
second highest turnover percentage on the team.
That's
real close to Smotherman on that one.
But if you weigh his, I want to give them a shout out. You should read it. I retweeted the story, but it was on whatever a fan-sided vertical. It used to be Hardwood Paroxysm. So, what's it? Anyway, I retweeted it. It's great. It's called the Step Back. It's actually really good. It's an advanced stats directed website. And so basically what they did was divide the assist percentage with usage rate. So who is capitalizing the most on their opportunities, not necessarily putting up, the highest number of assists or dominating the ball or whatever. He has a really low usage rate and an unbelievably high assist percentage.
Who?
Vince Edwards. Edwards. Yeah. Yes. And so that is a great role. He's making quick decisions and he's making great decisions, and his teammates are hitting open shots. Now the turnover rate, you probably adjust that with turnover rate and he'll sink there. But he's been playing when he's been good, Vince has been good.
So the top three, if you take that stat, if you take that assist percentage mm-hmm. over usage rate,
mm-hmm.
top three on Purdue would be Vince Edwards, mm-hmm. Dakota Mathias,
yeah,
Basil Smotherman.
Wow, look at that. Okay.
Look at that.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. No, it's shift everyone down by one. The top would be Dakota Mathias, who has an assist percentage of 18.6 and a usage rate of only 14.
That is a good ratio. He's been Purdue's second best player, I would say. That's my hot take of the podcast, is that Dakota has been Purdue's second best player. Because Haas hasn't been consistent. Haas has kind of disappeared. He apparently met a girl when he was down on the islands. And it sapped all of his basketball. That's my theory, at least.
Are you like a European soccer coach?
Yes.
Forbidding your players from having sex before competing?
Or encouraging them to.
Or encouraging them, depending.
Please continue. He's been absent after Puerto Rico, right?
I hate this word. Yeah. I hate this word, but I'm going to use it anyway.
Go for it.
I think he's been kind of soft.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been super aggressive, and I think part of that, I'm wondering if part of that is the fact that he spent much of the last 2 years trying to walk the line between, if he's aggressive at all and he touches anybody, they're flying into the third row and he's getting a foul.
Yep.
So I think I wonder if he's compensating the other direction.
I don't know. So my thing is just go for it. Like, especially in the second half. So in the first half, I see where Painter might want him to be a little more soft isn't quite the right word, but like a little more cautious. But then in the second half, screw it. Like, if people are going to hack him all the time, just go up strong. And if you elbow him in the face, you elbow him in the face and they call a foul. Like, and Purdue will be fine, especially because with Vince at the four and Biggie at the five and three shooters on the floor, Purdue's been really good.
That's not a bad lineup.
So,
you know, and I think Haas is still playing okay.
Oh, he's been for the before Puerto Rico, he was great. But after, he's been completely quiet. And so you kind of need him to strike that balance somehow. I'm sorry, Cancun, not Puerto Rico. But you need him, like, striking a balance. And also, he was going against AJ Hammonds every day in practice for the last 2 years. So not going against the best big man defender in the nation might be, that was good practice time. Now he's going against Brandon Brantley, where shouts to Coach Brantley, but come on, he's not AJ Hammonds. And defense, see, that's the thing, is offensively, for the most part, barring the last couple games, he's been good enough. Defensively is where, we miss AJ. Like, Haas is not even close to AJ Hammonds, right?
No. And not in that. Like, Hammonds has uncommon athleticism.
And not even, and it's just touch and timing. And
feel for the game, timing. It's tough because you can't replace him, right? Like, because there isn't – he was one of the best in college basketball at what he did last season. So, of course, Haas isn't going to be able to replace that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough ask. And that might be why this team has been referred to as Coach Painter's best offensive team ever. And that's saying something when they had, the baby boilers, those baby boilers teams. Like, this might be Coach Painter's
better offense. Way better. That's, I think way better offensively.
Offensively, those teams were much better. That 2010 team was a much better all-around team. But this year, they are. I mean, just offensively, they are capable of putting up 80-plus points, like, not even thinking about it.
Here's a hot take about that 2010 team. I think that they were – I think their top heaviness – masked how unbalanced that roster was, because they had JJ, Etuan, Hummel, Lou Jack, and then a bunch of guys that wouldn't get off the bench for this Purdue team.
Yeah, I mean, and because
they didn't even have a starting five that was like they had 4-0. Right.
Well, especially that senior year, with like what was Juwan and Juwan and that senior year, because the 2010 team still had, I mean, their starting five was really great because they had Keaton Grant and they had Chris Kramer, and then Lou Jack was before he broke his foot, he was athletic, you know, aggressive Lou Jack.
Are you talking the 2010, 2011, or 2009, 2010? 9-10
was the... So that's probably the only team that is as... Or that could probably hold a candle to the offensive output that this team could hold. Or that this team, like, puts up. But again, defensively, this team is bad. This team is really bad defensively. Against a great offense... Purdue just has to outscore them, and that's not something that Purdue's used to doing, right? Or at least as Purdue fans, that's not something we're used to watching.
I think the Indiana game is going to be scary.
Oh, man.
Because Indiana can put up some points. Like, I know they lost to Fort Wayne, but that team can get buckets.
Yeah, and they play such a – I mean, for all the grief, for all the justified grief we give Tom Crean, his offenses – His offense, I'm glad he's in my life. Just like the P.J. Fleck, I wish they hired
that
P.J. Fleck.
Of him getting interviewed by, what's his face, is my favorite. I send it to that to my brother-in-law several times a year. Stupid-ass look on his face. I love it. It brings me such joy. Christmas gift. If y'all want to get me something for Christmas, give me a picture. That picture framed. I'll love you forever. I'll have a fourth kid and name it after you.
The gif of him like adjusting his belt next to Ryan Smith. Yeah. So it's great. But his offenses are always so beautiful, and especially when he has somebody like Thomas Bryant. Now, who they're missing is Yogi Ferrell, or like the person that Yogi Ferrell was offensively, which is like the floor general who can run the floor. But yeah, that IU game, like the Purdue IU game this year might look like an NBA score. Like it might be like 105, 101. They only play once, right? They only play in Mackey?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they only play in Mackey, and which is an abomination. Like, I don't understand how Purdue and IU, they play in Assembly Hall this year. February 9th. My brother's 3 days after. Oh, we might be going to that one. And Assembly Hall. So what was the game it was a big game. Was it Kansas? No, it wasn't. It was right after whoever they played in the ACC Challenge.
North Carolina.
And it was right after the Purdue game. And it was right after Purdue Louisville. And so, like, Louisville, the Yum Center is just a terrible
KFC,
arena.
It's the KFC Yum KFC. Exclamation mark center.
Oh,
come on,
God.
Get it right. Bounce your corporate masters.
They're, it's just so nothing. Like, it's nothing. And then they go to the next game in Assembly Hall for a top 10 matchup. It's like, good Lord. And so
it was Purdue Villanova game.
Oh, Purdue Nova! Shout out to the paint crew for that one.
Shouts to the paint crew.
That was awesome. So those are the two losses, right? Matt Norlander again called them the two best losses in the country.
A loss is a loss. I am done with moral victories with Purdue basketball. I am completely off of that train.
But I agree. To that point, I completely agree. Done with moral victories, but. does it again? Where the success criteria of this year is not aren't those wins. Now those wins set up for a good tournament seed. I'll give you that. Yeah. But like, does it really matter? Or does it matter only if Purdue grows from those games and makes it far in the tournament? You know what I mean? It kind of feels like we'll use hindsight either way. If we would have won those games and lost in the tournament, it's like, oh, Matt Painter team's only peak, peaked whatever.
When did Matt Painter team's peak?
That's February is the answer.
February. I knew the answer as soon as I asked the question. I think any way the season shakes out, you can always use these games to shape the hashtag narrative that surrounds this team. But honestly, it's not that is not an interesting conversation to me.
That's
like,
fair.
The benefit of losing to good teams, right? Do you think like Nova fans are sitting there thinking, "Man, this team needs to make the Sweet 16"?
No, they're champions.
They've been there. They know.
Yeah, they know.
Their bar is the Final Four.
Yeah.
And Purdue hasn't been to the Elite Eight in 16 years. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been to the Final Four in, what, 34,
36.
Years?
It was 1980.
36. Yeah. So, you know, I think I kind of don't really care. Mm-hmm.
You just want them to close. That's the thing. So, The frustrating part to me is that those two games should have been wins. Purdue didn't get blown out of either of them. And I would even argue Purdue beat Purdue more than Villanova beat Purdue or more than Louisville beat Purdue, right?
I'm pretty sure both Louisville and Nova beat Purdue.
I don't, but that's the thing. They were Louisville did not impress me. I know they're a top 15 team, and their defense was fun to watch. Their defense is really aggressive. They look like Shaka Smart's old defenses, like just attacking everywhere. Offensively, they looked like a top 60 team. You know, they didn't look like a top 15 team. And that's really surprising for a Rick Pitino coach team. I was not impressed by Louisville at all, and that leads me. That's why we started off the podcast with 15 minutes on Vince Edwards, because if Vince had shown up to that game, like I understand with that defense, Swanigan and Haas shutting down, but the fact that Vince didn't show up when Mathias did, Mathias played very well. Louisville couldn't score, and Purdue got the game within five. In the last couple minutes, they were one made three-pointer away from probably stealing the game, like going on a run to steal the game. And the run, by the way, was spurred by Mathias and Carson Edwards. If Vince Edwards shows up to that game, I think Purdue wins.
If my aunt had balls.
Yeah, that's okay. The thing, is that it's so frustrating. And Nova was close. I mean, you. And the other thing is, a close game against Villanova, I know that they're the champions and they're the number one team in the country, but it's at home. And Purdue shouldn't be losing in Mackey Arena to anybody. And it's a little, on one hand, it's a little easier to look past because it's Villanova, but on the other, Purdue should have won. Purdue should have beat Nova, and they didn't. And Mackey was awesome. Like, the crowd was into it. And it was a few, given away offensive rebounds by Villanova, and a lot of missed shots by Purdue.
I think why that doesn't matter to me is, ultimately, you got to get that top four seed in the tournament if you really want to give yourself the best chance of at least getting to the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. And I don't see how Purdue does that without going crazy in the Big Ten this year, because they're going to look at the committee overvalues, in my opinion, non-conference play. And even if they beat Notre Dame, Notre Dame's not Nova or Louisville, right? Like, you're not going to have a ton to point to. So you're looking at a five or a six seed.
But so on one hand, to me, Notre Dame is a better team than Louisville. But, yeah, that's if yeah. Yeah, it was missed opportunities to secure really good non-conference wins.
I think people are sick of, and we had this conversation privately, but I think people are sick of Purdue looking awesome when it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then looking crappy when it does.
Or even, yeah. Yeah, and so that's like blowing out teams like Morehead State and Arizona State. Yeah, and not being able to close against Louisville on national television when Louisville looked bad. Yeah, it's about time they learned how to win, right? I mean, and that the Louisville performance is why Vince got benched. And so, I don't know, like maybe they learned something from that. You kind of hope, all you can do now, with it being in the past, right? All you can do now is hope that they learn from it. And hope that they get a damn win in Indianapolis for once.
God, that'd be great.
We'll talk about that next week, but yeah.
That'll be the next one, but they got to get a win. You know, honestly, I feel like I've sounded really negative in the last couple of minutes, but I'm really enjoying watching this team play. Like they're a fun team because everybody loves points.
Yeah.
And everyone hates good defense. watching it at least, except for you.
Except for us. Yeah.
They're a fun team to watch. I really hope that they produce. I hope 2017 is our year. Maybe we'll restart the football team.
Maybe a bet. Yeah. Hey, listen, if this is the year that we give up, is this the calendar year starting from whatever Monday's date was when we hired Jeff Brom, December 15th, 2016 or December 5th, 2016 to December 5th, 2017. Maybe it's the calendar year that Purdue sports just give up on defense and they go all in on offense. Yeah, sure. I'll take that.
Be fun.
Oh, yeah. I'll take that all day. Yeah. That's at the this. The problem that you're pointing to, and correctly to me, is that I think it's a down year in the Big Ten because Michigan State is they could have had an awesome year, but it looks like they've been unbelievably unlucky. And actually, about damn time that Michigan State got a little bit of bad luck. He's going to end up in the Final Four. We all know this.
Yeah, they've got a freshman who's pretty damn good.
Yeah, Bridges. Oh,
yeah.
But they're not, wins over them in the regular season aren't going to be as impressive as they usually are. Ohio State is straight bad this year. Wisconsin is fine. Like, Wisconsin is probably as good as Purdue is right now. Purdue should be a better team. Penn State's a little frisky, but whatever. And then Indiana. So really, like, the three, I think it's the only, are they the only three ranked teams in the Big Ten? Are Purdue, is Maryland ranked?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Because I don't think they've played anybody. But like Wisconsin, IU, and Purdue, the Big Ten's down this year. And so maybe you're right, is that if Purdue loses to Notre Dame, they lost the only three out of the four real contests they have, for the fourth being IU. It hurts giving away those two other games, but Purdue's really fun. They are.
They're a fun team, and I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see. We'll talk again either before or after the Notre Dame game. Probably, hopefully before.
Yeah, we'll try to get one.
We'll try to get one before.
Right before that.
And then we'll have a morning afterward once they lose for the bajillionth time in a row.
We'll be smoking cigarettes in the morning.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Yeah, well, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll have Dowd on because Dowd loves losses in Indianapolis that we can expect.
That is going to be terrible. He is not going to be super happy.
Yeah, so the Notre Dame game is probably going to be one of the biggest matchups of the year, but Purdue kind of has to. There's a game in between Cleveland State this weekend. Cleveland State's really bad.
Yeah.
They're, in fact, significantly worse, or just as bad as Morehead State,
right.
Significantly worse than Arizona State. So Purdue should put up 90 points on them again. Hopefully there's not a letdown game where Purdue is kind of looking past them. They took Arizona State seriously because it was in Madison Square Garden. Our guy Jay Money got got floor seats because he's got a money tree in his backyard.
He's kind of a baller, I think. Yeah. Jay has some connections.
I think he owns Berkshire Hathaway or something like that. I don't know.
He runs it or something. I don't know.
Maybe he's Trump's new Secretary of Labor. I don't know. He's something
finance.
Like that.
I thought he was finance. That's fine.
He's one of those things. So he was there to watch Purdue. They got up for Madison Square Garden and Arizona State. Indianapolis is next weekend against Notre Dame, their biggest test between now and the IU game. So Cleveland State, you kind of hope they're not overlooking them, but it should be. It shouldn't be close. Purdue should.
If this turns into Purdue's Fort Wayne, I'm going to be pissed.
Going to be so pissed.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It's fine. It's fine. It's
fine.
It's fine.
Everything is fine. God.
We'll see you when we're 7-3 next week.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to it. Thanks for listening to the Boiled Sports Basketball Beat. Thank you for making it this far.
Yeah, wow. We'll talk to you next week.